Hi, this is Tracy Swedlow, Editor-in-Chief of Interactive TV Today, ITVT, and this is Radio ITVT. We're at ITVT.com, and I am very happy to have Harold Geller, who is the Executive Director of an organization called AdID, which is at ad-id.org. Welcome to the show, Harold.
Thanks, Tracy. Great to be here.
Well, always thrilled to have you on here and at our conferences, TV of Tomorrow show. You or your organization, rather, won one of our leadership awards last June, and we wanted to find out a little bit about that. You know, why it won? Why did it grab people's attention? Why they voted for this upstart thing that you're in charge of? Can you tell me a little bit about how you came to manage AdID and what it's about, what the mandate is, please?
So firstly, I want to thank the judges for giving us this award. It was truly an honor. I've been running AdID now for 11 years.
Not such an upstart. 11 years. Yeah. It still feels like an upstart. Go ahead. Sorry.
We're not an upstart, but you know, where we are as a technology underpinning of the advertising industry really is shifting the focus to on-demand, addressable advertising, and cross-platform measurement. So we've been focused on the, you know, in the early days of AdID, we were very focused on the linear world of advertising, and having unique identification and metadata about ads, though it's important in the world of linear media, becomes even more important, actually critical, when you start thinking about the on-demand universe. So, when I look at the things that we did that got us recognized for this award, I look at work that we've done with the Coalition for Innovation in Media Measurement, CIM, and their Taxi Complete Open Standard Watermarking Project. When you start to look at the need for cross-platform measurement, advertisers are looking for granularity in their audience measurement, because at the end of the day, there is a question of ad effectiveness, and also there's a really serious issue in our industry of frequency capping. You know, we have ads that are running across platforms that, you know, we're reaching, you know, the number of people that are being reached is less and less, but we're reaching that same small group of people more times. So the idea is advertisers want to reach more people at a reasonable number of times. When you've got the same ad running over and over and over again, commercial wear out becomes a really significant issue. So when you start to use a unique identifier in association with measurement and frequency capping, that kind of thing becomes very important. So the Taxi Complete project was important to us. We've worked with the Association of Independent Creative Producers, the AICP, and there is a standard file format that AdID and AICP have put together that makes sure that the highest quality master file is available for use across all vendors and publishers in the ecosystem. And again, that standard file has an embedded AdID identifier so that when that file moves around from vendor to vendor, there's always a way of double checking that this is indeed the specific ad that was expected to run. The third thing that I think got our attention, or got the attention of the judges anyway, is the work that we've done with the IAB's Tech Lab in the video ad serving template. So VAST 4.1 is the newest version of the video ad serving template, and it's meant to be the way that ads are served across all addressable and on-demand platforms. And inside of VAST 4.1 is an element that calls for a unique identifier. They call it the Universal Ad ID. And that really pertains to Ad ID in the US, Clearcast in the UK, and the PubID standard in France. The idea is these regional identification or registration authorities make sure that the ad that comes from an ad server or from a publisher's digital asset management system or from an ad network actually are either the same or different ads. And if they're the same ad, we have to be sure that the same ad doesn't run back to back or back to back to back. And again, the idea of maintaining frequency capping. So that, in a nutshell, is what I believe got us the attention of the judges and got us in this leadership position to win this award.
And what are your top two challenges for the next 6 months or year? I mean, those are great accomplishments, but what do you still need to do?
Well, we need to, now that we've gotten the attention of the industry in participating in these initiatives, the number one challenge is getting people to actually, firstly, getting companies to register their ads without ID. The good news is that we have somewhere around 4,000 advertisers that have used ad ID. But there's a marketplace of probably somewhere in the area of 10,000. So we're just under 50% of the full marketplace. Again, the good news there is the majority of large advertisers are using ad ID. Small and medium-sized advertisers are still finding their way to us. And that will come through ad ID working with publishers and ad servers and measurement companies and other supply chain entities to develop the materials and the advocacy for using ad ID. So it's registration, advocacy, and marketing are really the things that we need to focus on. That's really what me and my team are going to be focused on between now and the end of 2018 and well into 2019.
And, in the next 5 years, what would be your dearest wish? What would you like to see happen in the end? What would be the biggest accomplishment?
Well, I think that there are a lot of things that this industry is moving in the direction of. I think one of the greatest opportunities in our industry is the evolution of dynamic creative, the ability to create not a 15-second ad, but a 15-second call to action, which is customized to the individual consumer target. And I think we've done great work in that area in sort of the startup phase of the dynamic creative. I think as we scale dynamic creative, we'll need to standardize how we refer to dynamic creative, how we refer to the component parts of each piece of dynamic creative. So dynamic creative is a big challenge and opportunity for standardization in the ad space. I also believe that, as I said, there are registration authorities for ads in the US, the UK, and France. I believe there are opportunities for registration authorities for ads around the world. And I'd like to see, in the next 5-10 years, ad ID and other registration authorities working together to either socialize the ad ID standard and platform to other countries or to build standards that are that interoperate with each other and cross-certify each other so that ads produced in Australia could run in the U.S. and not have to be re-registered and all that kind of stuff. So again, those are the two big things for me in the next years, and certainly the whole evolution of fully addressable advertising has great promise to make advertising even more engaging than it already is.
Would this work with interactive ads? And would you be tracking commercial interaction? Where things were purchased? Is that something that this can do?
Well, the idea is that when you get systems that connect to each other, having unique identification helps to track those calls to action. So when you talk about customization of a piece of creative that has a URL linked in, using the ad ID to track back to where that call to action came from, it's about intersections of metadata. There was a great blog post that that I'll send you the link to that talks about demystifying identifiers and identifying people, companies, and assets. So when you start thinking about that intersection of the publisher or the ad decisioning system or the ad network or the other any other another processor, and then so the intersection of the person cluster that might have seen the ad, the company that served the ad, and what that ad was, all of a sudden you've got a powerful intersection where you can actually do a lot of analytics relating to it. So the calls to action, the URL clicks, all that stuff ties back to the advertising asset that it came from, and then you start to realize the power of that asset and how well that asset worked.
Just quickly, are you tracking advertising that's being delivered through new, platforms like VR and things like that? Is that too far beyond for what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, we're watching VR closely to figure out how advertising assets are leveraged in the virtual reality space. I think it's too early to really start to think about how to standardize. I think there's so much innovation that's happening in virtual reality today that we need, that space needs to mature and evolve, and then we'll start to think about what are the standards required around identifying advertising assets in virtual reality. So we're certainly watching it, and we have agencies and advertisers that we're engaged with in terms of what the potential is for measuring and operationalizing virtual reality advertising. But I think it's there's still probably another 18 months before we start to really look deeply into the potential. I think the other area that that we're watching very closely is blockchain.
That was my next topic I was going to bring up. Do you feel that what you're trying to do will be disintermediated by blockchain?
Absolutely not. Every conversation that I have with any of the blockchain professionals say that one of the fundamental aspects of blockchain is being able to identify everything that comes through the blockchain. And the fact that AdID already has a unique identifier for the asset gives us the advantage of already doing some of the work, some of the legwork, some of the advanced legwork that has to happen for blockchain to be effective. So we work side by side in the blockchain space, and we've, as I said, spoken to some of the leading providers in there. The focus of blockchain so far has been the audience acquisition transactions, but when the fulfillment of the ad through the supply chain begins to flow through blockchains and we start seeing proofs of concept and initial trials, many people have said it's just a matter of saying to any advertiser or agency that is planning on doing fulfillment through blockchain that they first have to start with providing a unique ad ID code from our registry. So complimentary.
Well, that's interesting. That's great to hear. Well, I think we're going to keep it to our 10-15 minute format, keep it short. We want to make sure people listen all the way through because you had interesting things to say. Tell me a little bit about the panel that you're going to be producing at TVOT coming up on December 6th in New York City.
So, thanks for that prompt, Tracy. We're, again, one of the biggest areas that we're focused on is cross-platform measurement. And we're really going to be talking about the SIM Open Standard Watermarking Initiative. We're going to talk about some of the perspectives from the agency world and look at some of the planned implementations and some of the things that need to happen to make this a successful industry initiative. So I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. Well, we're always happy to have you there. And definitely go check out their site at ad-id.org. And that's it for today. What's your hometown, Harold?
I'm originally from Canada. So I'm originally from Toronto. I'm now based in Edison, New Jersey, and AdID is based in New York and Charlotte, North Carolina. But broadcasting major from Seneca College in Toronto.
You're all, that's amazing. Well, welcome from Canada. We're glad you're here. Thanks so much, Harold. We will speak to you extremely soon. See you in December.
Thanks, Tracy.
And congratulations on your achievement in advanced advertising, part of our ITVT Awards in Leadership that we just did last June. Speak to you soon. We'll be right back.